Grow as a dad by learning new strategies and how to put them into action to achieve outstanding results. Welcome to the Dad Code. I'm Matt Lennon. Welcome to episode 3, and today we are talking about how to take care of yourself, specifically for busy dads. We're going to talk about the importance of taking care of yourself, some strategies to do it, and then some really practical advice, I hope, and how I've done it in the past. I'm by no means an expert on this, and I'm still discovering and trying to figure out how to do it for myself, which is why this episode was important, because it's something I'm currently trying to do. So I thought I'd pass on anything I've learned so far to you. So let's jump in to the first section, which is going to be taking care of yourself is important. So we all have a responsibility to care for ourselves. Now, a lot of people believe that they just don't have the time, or it's not as important, that they really want to care for others before them, like maybe their wife or their children or some other family members that need a lot of help. But if we think about it, now all that is important, but if we think about it, if you can't care for yourself, how are you going to care for anyone else? If you get burnt out and you are out of commission, what happens to everyone else that depends on you? So you need to take care of yourself in order to take care of others. And that's why it's so important. Ignoring yourself can lead to a major imbalance. And if you think about the wheel of life, the Zig Ziglar wheel of life, where it has family, career, all these things, caring for yourself really needs to be handled. Otherwise, you're going to have this wheel that just goes clunk, 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 and you're not going to be as effective in any area if you don't take care of all these areas of your life. Stress can lead to problems, major problems. If you do a quick Google search to see what stress does to your body, you will see many things about like high blood pressure, just a whole bunch of things on disease, arthritis, chronic problems. I mean, we're elevating these stress hormones in our body, and over time they really start to have an impact and increase your likelihood of death, which is awful and really our worst case scenario. It can have a major impact on your marriage, on your children, really all of your relationships. So it's hard to argue that taking care of yourself isn't important. It's just easy to forget about, I think, is what happens with most people. Moving on to strategies on how to care for yourself, and along the way we're going to talk about some practical advice in each of the areas. The first and most obvious to me is creating opportunities to what I'll call unstress yourself. And there's two things that I can think of that will unstress you, and that's, for lack of a better term, pamper yourself and do things that bring you energy. So as far as pampering yourself is concerned, what I'm talking about is doing something intentionally to make yourself feel good. Now, that might be going to get a massage, which most men, maybe some men have an aversion to. I suggest trying it out and see if it does anything for you. I've recently started doing a sensory deprivation tank, and that lasts about an hour. I've done 2 sessions now, and I find that I come out really energized, which leads me on to the whole topic of bringing yourself energy to create opportunities to unstress. And I want to contrast that with distraction. Now, when I did the sensory deprivation tank, I found that I was able to really hone in and focus on just the present moment. Felt very relaxed. Again, came out with a lot of energy. Distraction is more of maybe watching television or playing video games, doing something like that. Something that just kind of distracts you in the moment, browsing the internet, whatever it might be, social media. If you find that these things don't energize you, that you don't feel better coming on the other end of it, then you might want to minimize that. I'm not saying there's not a place. There's definitely a place for distraction. However, if you're talking about caring for yourself, I think the focus should be on bringing yourself energy. And there's many ways to do that. I've found that bike riding seems to bring me a lot of energy. I get time to think. I also get physical movement, and that just kind of gets the blood flowing. Walks. But I live in the Midwest, so I couldn't do that year-round, at least not comfortably. So I've continued to have to search, and I've only been on this journey for maybe about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, really trying to get to the bottom of it. But I've really found that there is a distinction between bringing energy and something that just distracts me. Something that I've done during the winters that seems to help is working with my hands, like refinishing some kind of old piece of furniture or standing down and putting a coat of polyurethane and stain on something that, you know, like a hat rack or something that I wanted to build. That kind of stuff tends to bring me energy. Time just tends to float by, and I can think and clear my head, and I just come back a little bit more centered. So I suggest exploring those options too. Hopefully that helps out. Moving on, we've talked about unstressing, you know, creating these opportunities to gain energy and kind of take care of yourself, do something for you. Moving on to de-stressing. If we de-stress our life, we may not have as much to have to unstress. And when I say de-stress, what I'm specifically talking about is getting rid of the stressors. All right. So there's a couple ways we can do that. First, the first thing that comes to my mind is stop assigning meaning to things that have no meaning. This might be an odd one to jump to, but thinking, this is your whole frame of mind. This is how you view your world. The world is out to get me. Think about how many people actually view the world like that and how much stress it causes them in every area of life. Their wife, their children, their boss. Heck, they get into a traffic jam and they think that the world is out to get them. They spill their dinner on the floor, and of course, that's just how our day goes. I mean, really, you have to separate that out. You have to think, it's not a logical thought, obviously. But recognizing the fact that you may be doing that, I think will help de-stress your life tremendously. When we get stressed, things feel much bigger than they really are. We tend to use phrases like, you destroyed my life, and it was, or destroyed my day, and really, you know, we just messed up, you know, dinner. Maybe it was a cold dinner or something. You didn't ruin the day. We didn't ruin our life. That's an overstatement. It's an exaggeration. Be more realistic. Don't overestimate. Don't underestimate how bad things are right now. Just really get a realistic sense of how things are, and then take steps to prevent them from happening in the future. One of the ways we can do that is give ourselves more choices. And that's the next thing I want to say about de-stressing your life, is give yourself more choices. More choices give you less stress. No choice gives you stress. I imagine some people might have a hard time connecting the dots between these, between stress and no choice. Let me give a very practical example. If you have $300 in your emergency fund, in your bank account, that's the total amount of money you have access to on any given day. Think about how one little emergency can be a disaster and how much stress it can cause you. If you take your car in, your car breaks down, you take it into the shop, heck, even just towing it there might cause you stress. Getting it to the shop and having them tell you that it's a $500 alternator they need to put in, or whatever it might be, it turns a very small problem in the grand scheme of things into a major problem, because now you cannot go to work potentially, or you might not be able to do things that are important to you or whatever it might be, might take away from other areas of your life. So you need to have some buffer room. That means you need to have some buffer in your budget. That means you need to have an emergency fund. So you can build that, so you can have a buffer between you and some life, because we know bad things are going to happen. Plan out those bad, plan for those bad things happening, and have some money sitting there ready to go if you need it. $1,000 will change your world if you're one of those people that lives paycheck to paycheck. $1,000 in your emergency fund will change your world. And truly, I would recommend at least 3 months of living expenses in an emergency fund. And I go on the higher end of 6 months to a year, simply because I want the flexibility to be able to, another example, walk away from a job I don't like and have no fear of sitting with no job. You can smell a person who's unemployed in an interview. That's what they say anyway. I don't know if that's really true, but I would imagine they really smell the desperateness. So if you have an emergency fund and you know you got 6 to 9 months leeway, a runway to find a job, I'll bet you are a much more attractive candidate. But I never want to be trapped. People are always trapped in these awful jobs, and you spend so much time at work. Don't get trapped in an awful job. Give yourself some financial runway. Remember, there are always three options to everything, along with this no choice to de-stress your life categories. Always have three options. Know that there always are three options. This is very hard to see for people, and it's even hard for me, who loves to look at options. When there's an emergency, we tend to think there's only one way to handle it. You have no options, right? If you think of another option, well, okay, great. Now we have A or B. A lot of people are able to get to that point where they only have two options. I quit or I deal with it, right? That's kind of how we view it through the lens. Oh, I only have two options. I can only do those two things, so I'm really stressed. Well, if you have three options, you will be much less stressed. In fact, I think there's always at least three options. And then if you sit there and write out 1, 2, 3 on a piece of paper when you go through these difficult times that you guaranteed are going to go through throughout your life, just come up with a third option. It doesn't mean you have to choose it. Just come up with a third option to show that you do have more choices and you'll feel less stressed. And I would venture to say, all of a sudden, you'll come up with a fourth, fifth, and sixth option at times. I know when we felt, we recently went through a close relationship to us. We started having some problems, me and my wife, and we really felt trapped. We didn't know what to do. And we started listing out our options. We only felt like we had one choice. And we came up with 8 alternatives. And then we were able to combine, 8 total options. And we were able to combine these options together to make a really optimum scenario. And this was more recently. So we'll see how it's all worked. But certainly our first choice, or our only option, you know, when we were looking at it through that lens, was not the best one by far. So give yourself plenty of options. Give yourself choice, and you're going to avoid a lot of that stress to begin with. Take care of yourself. This is your responsibility. If it's not your responsibility, whose responsibility is it, right? Moving on to de-stressing your life. This is a very difficult one for me because I'm very future focused. And in general, here's where people usually lie. They're either past focused or future focused in general. And very few people are able to just be in the present. And if you're one of those people that's able to just live in the present, hats off to you. I do not have that skill set as one of my strong points anyway. But I do try and live in the present. So if you are past focused or future focused, make sure you are taking the time out to live in the present. And otherwise, you're just missing out on your life. You're just missing out on your life. You're watching your kids grow in front of you. I have a 2-year-old, 5-year-old, and a 7-year-old. My house is really busy. And there's a lot of chaos. And sometimes all I want to do is just make it through the day so I can sit down and get distracted, right? Like that whole thing about just distracting yourself. Again, it has its place. But I turn on the television for like an hour and just kind of zone out. But I spend my whole day thinking about just surviving through this day. And I never take the time to actually sit there with my kids and enjoy them being young. I'm never going to get this time back. My 2-year-old, she's running around being the cutest thing. And here I sit only wanting, selfishly wanting to sit and stare at the television. So I find when I take the time to just really be in the present, appreciate what's around me and what I have and all the gifts I've been given, I tend to really de-stress my life. A tactic that I've used to be able to do that is meditating. I meditate every morning and I do some what I like to call deep prayer, because I'm not only speaking with my creator, I'm listening for his voice. So I do some breathing work. I do some, what you would call, traditional meditation, maybe just focusing on my breath. And then I go into prayer. And I do this for 10 to, gosh, sometimes it goes up to 30 minutes a day when I'm really working through some stuff. But I find I'm much more centered by the end of it, and I'm able to be present. And I recognize everything around me that's a blessing, even though it might seem like a curse at the time. So that's a very, in all the literature you read, it says being present, mindfulness meditation is really something that benefits a lot of people, especially in the age of distraction with everything, our phones going off and everything. It's very helpful. Another way to de-stress your life is saying no. I'm going to let that sink in. So many of us refuse to say no. If we just said no more, we'd open up the space to be able to take care of ourselves, to be able to focus on what's important. You know, I'm sure some people are sitting there thinking, I don't have time to meditate. I'm already packed as it is. Well, maybe we should say no to something that isn't bringing us, that isn't paying any kind of dividends. Maybe we're, I don't know. Maybe that hour of TV, that's, I used to watch a couple hours of TV every night, but I wake up extra early in the morning. I wake up as early as 4:15 in the morning, depending on the day, to do my morning routine, to work out, to meditate, to do all these things that have been shown to help improve stress and be good for you. And what I've had to say no to was watching television until late at night. I'm often in bed before 9 o'clock because I am waking up so early. It's not fun sometimes, but I sure feel better throughout the day. I can tell you that. In fact, this week I'm taking a week off from working out and meditating just to kind of contrast things so I remember how life good is when I go back to it. I can tell you I don't feel as good. I felt a little bit hungover the first day, or after the second day, I should say. Just I felt really off. Man, these things really do have an impact, and this is just a reminder for me. So learn to say no to things. It might be saying no to staying late at work. It might be saying no to an extra project. I'm not saying don't do those things. There is a time and a place. There is a week that you'll do it and a week that you might not be, that you shouldn't do it, right? We just have to learn how to say no. We have to put up boundaries for ourselves. Hey, I don't do this. I don't do that. I refuse to sacrifice this for that. So saying no is going to be very important for you. And if you're a people pleaser, this is going to be very, very hard for you. Me and my wife have been listening to a lot of Dr. Henry Cloud's podcast, and he wrote the book Boundaries. And gosh, the amount of boundary problems we have in our lives is concerning. And then to hear all these people call in with the same problems, it's like, wow, we're not the only ones. Everyone has these boundary problems, and we all refuse to say no, and we can't put down our cell phone. You know, all these things, it just compounds. It's awful. Moving on from de-stressing your life, let's start living and stop existing. That's the next topic. Let's start living and stop existing. So I've focused on through since beginning with the strategies, unstressing and de-stressing. Now that's all trying to minimize the stress and get rid of it, right? Now let's start living and stop existing. Let's go over and create the life we want. That's going to energize you, right? What kind of life do you want? Do you want to travel the world one day? Do you want to do a cool experience with your kids? Maybe take them to Disneyland or go on a camping trip or travel across the country in an RV or go in one of those zero gravity planes with your, take your family in one of those and all their friends. There are plenty of cool things we can do. If we're not focusing and dreaming of our future and setting goals for our future, then life will take a hold of it and the demands of other people will take your time. So control what you can control. Don't stress about the things you can't control. And then focus on what's important. You won't get everything, but gosh, if you hit 70% of the things you can dream of, that's a pretty good life. So how can we hit those things? Well, first you got to set aside time to dream. I think this is incredibly important to take care of yourself and your family and everyone else around you. Dream what your most ideal state is in each category of life, including taking care of yourself. Write it down. Once you wrote it down, there's incredible power in writing it down. Once you write it down, it's something activates in your brain that your subconscious starts working on it, and then you have to refine that. And you continue to refine it till you got something that really kind of energizes you. So when you write it down, also write down why you want it. And that's where the emotional juice kicks in. That's where it's going to draw you towards it. Again, you won't get everything, and you're not supposed to. Right? We can't have everything in this life, but we can sure dream of it, set goals to try and achieve it. And if it's important, we keep working at it. So whatever that might be, again, marriage time, time for yourself, time with your children. These are things that are going to bring you a lot of energy, and it's going to keep you moving. It's going to keep you, you know, it's going to keep you involved in your career till your mid 90s. So schedule those things. That's the practical step here. You have to schedule dreaming, schedule setting goals. Give it a deadline. You know, everything doesn't need a deadline right away. That's called the dream, right? It becomes a goal when you go put a date next to it. So allow those to transition. Schedule time to work on it. Think about it. I think it's very important. Start living, stop existing. On that topic, we mentioned scheduling times for things that are important. This is going to give you security that you are taking care of all areas of life, that certainty you need to know you're handling yourself, handling, making sure you're there for your family, that you're there for your friends, you're there for your any loved ones. So schedule some social time, some alone time, right? That time to dream, reflection. You might journal. You might, talk with your creator. This will change your world in a positive direction. You might schedule time with any of your loved ones, like your children, like me and my kids. I probably mentioned it in the past. We do one-on-one time. We do extended one-on-one time with each child. How frequently we get to it is difficult, but we do get to it. We try and get to the one-on-one time once a week. And we just do whatever the kid wants. Hey, what do you want to do? I want to play Monopoly. Okay. And we take an hour to play Monopoly. And that's what we do. And it means a lot to them. And I know I'm handling my job. I used to have this free floating anxiety all the time that I could be doing something better. Until I went over and wrote out what I want out of each area of my life, it was only then that I realized that, okay, I am meeting some of my desired states here. I don't need to worry about that one. Right now I'm doing it. And then I looked for the areas that I wasn't, and then I put my time in there, and I could see that that was the best way to use my time right then and there. And that's where this one-on-one time came from with my kids. We'll schedule adventures. We'll make life an adventure, right? Schedule time for movements, you know, exercising routinely, schedule learning. These are fun things. You're learning, you're growing every day. I do a devotional every morning. I spend maybe 10-15 minutes doing this devotional. So I'm growing every day with that, as well as other things, listening to audiobooks and reading books. Also contributing, schedule time to contribute and help other people. Have time that's not scheduled on that note, just to kind of be distracted. These are all very important things. Start living, stop existing. The last thing I'm going to talk about is, in order to take care of yourself, it's a feeling too, right? You want to feel good. So one way to feel good is to look good. I know this sounds weird, but smiling more, having good posture, dressing nice, maybe giving yourself a haircut, not physically you giving yourself a haircut, but getting a haircut or give yourself a haircut, depending. You're going to feel better about yourself. And I think that's very important. And this is taking care of yourself, right? You might want to go over and upgrade your pants, because the pants you got are dad pants, and you got some nice white New Balances with grass stains on them, and you're like, eh, maybe I should switch this up a little bit. Maybe I shouldn't look so dad right now. That's okay. Hey, looking dad's fine. That's totally fine. Trust me. But also look, you know, you want to feel good, and if looking good helps, maybe get yourself a new pair of shoes. And this is not, what I'm not preaching here is retail therapy. What I'm saying is, you don't need to wear stained shirts all the time. You can walk around with good posture and a nice haircut, dressed nice, and just feel good. Feel good. I don't think we were made to exist on this planet in misery. The misery comes on its own. No need to create more of it. Walk around, feel good about yourself. I don't spend a ton of money on this one, but I do spend a little bit of money on this one, because I think it's healthy. It's good for you. So those are the strategies that I could come up with, and some practical advice on how to take care of yourself, at least this stage in the game with myself. So if you have any recommendations, feel free to reach out to me. And this is I just want to encourage you guys, this is a never-ending pursuit. There's no such thing as perfection. It is an art. It's not a science. It is an art. It's something that you're going to have to continue to work on. So when you are able to care for yourself better, I believe you will be a better dad. And that's why I put this in this podcast. So take care of yourself, guys. You are important. And be the dad you wanted to be. Thanks, and we'll see you in the next episode. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If so, please leave us a rating, and we'll see you next time.